I am fantasy author L. Penelope, and welcome to My Imaginary Friends, a look behind the scenes at an author mapping the worlds in my head and making them a reality. Hello, friends. Today is Friday, June 7th, 2019, and this is episode 17 of My Imaginary Friends. I'm Leslie. My glasses are disturbingly dirty. They're distractingly dirty. Sorry. I'll take a moment to clean them, or else I won't be able to focus. So there's lawn mowing going on outside. I don't know if that'll be audible or not. I'll run it through the cleaner just to try to get rid of it. But if I don't record now, I'm not going to record. The next 3 days are going to be insanely busy. So, sorry. This week's best thing. I was scrolling through the actual news app on my phone. And just like, that's how I mostly get news because I can't watch it on TV very often anymore. And I discovered this thing called Tiny Love Stories from the New York Times. They're 100-word true life love stories that are submitted by readers. And I think sometimes they have a contest or sometimes they just, there's an open submission and anyone can write one. And, you know, they're just written by regular people and they're kind of lovely. Like some of them are just really poignant and moving. And so I was reading through a bunch of them earlier this week and I just thought that they were very cool. There may have been something else this week that I've forgotten, but that was one of the nice things that I read that made me kind of feel good. So that's this week's best thing. In writing news, I'm working on the fast draft of book 3.5 of the Earthsinger Chronicles. It is the third novella, and it's going really well. I have 10,000 words as of yesterday, which at first I thought the draft would only be 15, but I think now the draft, this fast draft is going to be more like 20 to 25,000 words. At 10,000, I'm not quite done with the first page of my 2.5-page outline. So that's how I figure it out. And so sometimes I know, or I can hit the mark really well in terms of how long I think it'll be, but those times are very rare. So, we'll see, because I know the fast draft is a lot shorter than the final draft, so this novella might be longer than I thought, which is fine. It's just, I guess I had more to say than I thought. So yeah, there's a quote that I saw on Instagram that I will probably put on Instagram again, because it's great, and it's from Terry Pratchett, and it says, "The first draft is just you telling yourself the story," which is how I approach it at any rate. That's why I do the fast draft or the zero draft, which is just brain dumping, telling myself the story. I kind of start that process after I've done all the plotting when I do the outline. And the outline is taking everything that I've learned during the plotting period, the few weeks that I spend plotting, and telling myself the story in bullet form. And then, you know, like I said, I have a 2.5-page outline for this novella. So I will take a sentence, you know, like, okay, this character, there's a religious ceremony of some kind, and this character is nervous, and she helps character B through it because he's supposed to do something that he can't do, and then she helps him, she saves his ass. I think literally in the outline it says, she saves his ass. And that'll be all I know about the scene before I sit down to write it. I don't know exactly what this religious ceremony entails. I don't know exactly why they're there. It's going to come to me. I don't know exactly what he has to do that he can't do and that she saves him. So these are things that I discover as I draft, which is why I do consider myself a discovery writer as much as I am a plotter. Discovery writing a lot of times equals pantsing. And even though I am a plotter, you can only plot so far. Everybody who is a plotter is also a pantser, because unless your plot is a 150,000 word novel, or I shouldn't say that. I think that I've heard that Dorinda Jones creates these like 70-80 page outlines, which are very detailed, and then writes her book from there. And so at that point, I guess she's never pantsing. I don't know. But yeah, and the discovery writing is the real fun part. As much as I dislike first drafts, I do like discovering things about the story. And I don't like first drafts because they're so messy and because they feel so wrong and they come out so raw and so unfinished and needing of layers and layers of revision that it doesn't feel good to write to write things that are bad, but it feels good to discover what's happening in the story and to learn all these things. And so it's a love-hate relationship, I guess, that I have. I was also filling in parts of my story Bible. So before I really started drafting, I think that I'm not doing it so much now, because in the fast draft stage, if I don't know something, I don't stop. I just, I'll put X, like capital XXX in the draft as I'm writing, and that's just something that I don't know. Or I'll put something in capital letters. Like, I don't know the names of the clans for these people. So as opposed to taking the time to do some research and figure out how their naming structure would work and all this stuff, fast drafting, I just say clan, all in caps. And I know I'm going to name it later, and that's how I approach it. So anything I don't know, even to the point of, since this is the third novella, so it'll come 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6th. Is that right? The 6th book in the series, technically. Counting the novellas, there's a lot. And even though this happens, this particular novella is 500 years in the past, I've talked about these characters before, and there's some things that have been laid in. So, I don't know the exact timeline of things that I've already mentioned. And I was writing a scene where I was like, oh, well, how many years did he spend doing this? And, I know I've mentioned it before, and I don't know in what detail. So that's when I would, at some point, we'll have to go back into the story Bible or into the previous books and say, what did I already say about this? I actually don't think I did it in detail, but I have it in my story Bible that he, spent 10 years wandering in the desert, which is not what happened, but maybe it needs to be 20 years. And in this novella, am I contradicting something? If I'm contradicting something that I have in my story Bible, but it's not in a book, then I can change it unless it doesn't make sense. All of those things I'm thinking about as I'm writing. I was tempted to stop, but I know I can't stop. Fast draft, fix it later. It's 10 years right now. If it really was 20 years or whatever, that's going to have to come at some point in the future. So those are also reasons why it feels wrong. Like, I know it's a mistake. I know it's wrong. It's not right. But I have to push through to get the fast draft done, because there's no point in, my whole philosophy and why I like it is just no point in changing it when by the time I get to the end of the book, I might realize that, oh, this religious ceremony that's at the beginning is all wrong and I have to change everything. Another example is that I had written a scene, and the next day I realized, oh, that scene would be much more powerful if the conflict was amped up in this way. So I just wrote a note while I'm in the middle of my draft. I put brackets around it and was like, okay, change the scene before to this. And then I continued writing as if the change had been made. And so, if I had stopped to perfect the scene from yesterday, and then the next day discovered that, oh, that scene was wrong. Those actions were wrong. It's not enough conflict. I can make it better in this way. Then that would have been a lot of time wasted. And, that scene might change 3 or 4 more times. Like, as I go through, forward, I might discover other things that will make those things better. Because I think that Sean Coyne, who wrote The Story Grid, at some point, either in the book or on the podcast, he talks about, that your first idea is never the greatest one. You have to dig deep. He suggests brainstorming at least 10 things. And in specific circumstances, and I can't remember exactly what those circumstances are. But, for me, since the first draft is telling myself the story, that first version of the story is going to be the first level. It's probably going to be cliched. It's going to be the easiest thing I can think of in certain aspects. And so I know it's going to get deeper and get more complicated. I'm going to be able to amp up things and bring out things, but that happens later. So I allow myself to just get rid of that first level. I had a professor in college, Haile Garima, who was a scriptwriting class, but he talked about vomiting up your first draft. And that was way before I even learned anything about zero drafting or fast drafting, but that concept had already been in my mind from that class. He's like, vomit up your first draft. And I don't know what you did with the vomit afterwards. You have to clean up the vomit. The metaphor dies quickly. But so yes, this is me vomiting up my first draft. But with all of those caveats, and regardless of the fact that it still feels weird, writing all the stuff that is terrible, and then I know it's going to change. It is going well. The words are flowing. The ideas are flowing. The story is coming together. And I'm happy about that. So that's very exciting. So a little bit about like the process of drafting. I always draft on my Alpha Smart. This keyboard, old school from the 80s or 90s, I guess. My mom was a special ed teacher, and she used these in her classroom. So when I bought one on eBay, she was like, I know those. I used to use those with my, you know, kids. So I have a little like writing ritual, I guess. You know, a lot of writers have set things that they do. I try not to be too ritualistic in anything because I don't like to be beholden to something. Like, I already feel beholden to the Alpha Smart. So if I'm traveling and I don't bring it with me, and I have to fast draft, I feel weird. Like, I don't like it because it's part of the process. But I never like to rely on things like that. That being said, I do have steps that I take. So I always make a fresh cup of tea. And before I sit down to write, I pull out the Alpha Smart and my outline. I have an adjustable desk. It's a sit-stand desk. And so it has presets. And so since the Alpha Smart, it's like a keyboard, but it's slightly thicker. I just need to move my desk down so that I'm ergonomically in the right ergonomic position to type on it. And then I usually like try to warm up my wrists because I do have some, I don't have carpal tunnel or anything, but you know, my wrists get tired. I'm on the computer a lot. So I do some stretches on my wrists, and sometimes I'll just do some push-ups just to get blood flowing through my arms and body, and just to kind of wake me up. And have my tea. Oh, I turn on Coffeetivity, which is a little app. It's a website, and they have a desktop version, which just plays coffee shop sounds. I don't write to music or anything. And I write to coffee shop sounds. And then before I can even start writing, I have to have the first line. So I look at the outline of the scene that I'm going to do that day. I kind of try to imagine how it begins. I just need to know the beginning, the spark. And once I have a first line, then I set my timer and I start writing. And usually I do 30-minute sprints. I have these time cubes, which they're little cubes and they're timers. And I have two of them, actually. So each one has four different times on it. So one has like 2 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 45. And then one has 5, 30, 15, and 16. So I use the 30-minute timer. And that's so I don't have to use my phone. I was using my phone as my timer for a long time, but then your phone is sitting there. Oops, my timer I just accidentally turned the timer on. Then your phone is sitting there and it's a cause of distraction. So I bought these time cubes and I use them for everything. I have the 2-minute one for steeping my tea. And then when I'm working, when I'm doing website stuff, you know, I'll be like, I'll work on this project for an hour or for 45 minutes and then I'll take a break. And then I'm going to surf the internet for 15 minutes or, you know, be in social media for 15 minutes. I love these time cubes and they're just so fast. You just literally turn them and they're on and they're going. And then they beep at the end. So I do a 30-minute sprint. That usually gets me at least 1,500 words. I can get up to 2,000 in 30 minutes if I'm really flowing, 2,000 plus occasionally. And usually that's enough for the scene. If I'm not done with the scene when the timer ends, I continue writing. I finish the scene no matter what. And then I take a break and get some more tea, do some more stretching, walk around a little bit, and usually do another sprint. So at least two sprints a day. After two sprints, I'm kind of done. I'm kind of fried. The creative energy has been pouring and it's probably just exhausted. So that is my basic ritual for when I'm drafting. And like I said, I've become so beholden to my Alpha Smart that I think it's small enough to pack with me and take with me because I'm traveling in July and I will be drafting. And I don't know if it's reasonable to, I've planned my schedule so that when I go to those two conferences in July, they're not part of the schedule. I don't expect to be writing. If I get any writing done, it will be a bonus because as much as I would love to say, I'm going to get up every morning and write in the hotel, the chances of that happening are slim. I know that RWA, at least last year, they had some like sessions that were sprinting sessions or writing sessions. And I went to one or two of those and actually got words in. So hopefully they'll have that again this year. And I think even ReaderCon has some kind of like writing room that they have on their schedule. I'll have to look again. But so it might be more feasible than I think to get writing done if I actually put it in my schedule as part of the conference. And that would be great. I hate bringing extra things because I always have to bring my laptop when I travel because of work and just writing also, but bring my laptop and my Alpha Smart and just weighs down the backpack. So I try to pack light. So I've also been reading more fantasy. And during this drafting period, I came across a book. It's a traditionally published adult fantasy book, and it's Second World Fantasy. And I enjoyed it. I'll probably read the second one, but I got caught on something. So Second World Fantasy, there's nothing to indicate that this is an alternate Earth or anything. Different country names, different people names. They have like gargoyles and creatures. And so she's talking about the seasons and they're in the month of January. And that is in the book. And that pulled me so far out. I stopped. I put the book down. I picked it up again. I was like, wait a minute. And this was near the beginning. So I was like, January? All right. Well, maybe they will come. Maybe, you know, further in the book, it will be revealed that this is some alternate Earth and they had Rome and Roman gods. Because January is based on Janus, who was like the Roman god of something. And, you know, the Julius Caesar's calendar, like, there should not be January in your fantasy novel. I'm sorry. And I can, since I finished the book and there was no indication that this was an alternate Earth where there had been a Rome and Roman gods and Janus and there should be a January, then I can only assume that it's a mistake that got through, that the copy editor didn't catch it. And that's my assumption because it made so little sense and it pulled me so far out that, you know, I eventually did get back into the book. And like I said, I'm intrigued enough. Like I might buy the second one when I think it comes out. I don't know. And I don't want to shame the book by naming it, but like, come on. It just can't have January in your secondary fantasy novel. Prove me wrong. Like if someone has an opposing take, I'm all ears, but like, I'm sorry. That killed it. And I didn't have a lot of faith in the author after that. So even though I was intrigued by the story, I was kind of. So, I mean, the story was, you know, compelling enough to make me consider the next one, but the jury is out. So we shall see. Is that too much? Am I being too much there? I don't know. So that was my little rant. I take a lot of time and thought about things like that in fantasy. Like, you know, I named the days of the week in Earthsinger Chronicles very simply, first day, second day, third day. It's not like super creative because I didn't want to distract. Like I didn't want to use Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, but I didn't want to come up with like some other weird, you know, that can go too far. Like I wanted to go there, but I realized that was too much. So I just simplified it and they just named the days of the week by numbers. And the months, there's also first month, second month, third month. I did the months like that as opposed to giving them in world months because of the way that the religions had evolved in this society. I had reasons for it, you know. And from the very beginning, I chose to do the measurements in kilometers. And I had some thoughts about that, you know, but sometimes there's diminishing returns for things like that. Like if I renamed all of the systems of measurement into something that was completely unique and based on this world, then I'd have to explain it and then people wouldn't know what it meant. So I figured kilometers, they're still humans. I don't know. Like I knew that there could be a question raised, at least by me. If no one else, but I rationalized that. So maybe this author rationalized January but that's just pushing it. And maybe I'm being hypocritical. I don't know. But yeah. Anyway, so yes, this coming week, I will continue fast drafting. I hope to finish by midweek, by hopefully Wednesday. And we'll just see. This weekend is super busy and I don't know how much drafting I'll get to do. So it all depends. I am tracking my progress I'm going to say the Canadian way, progress. Like, as I was saying that, I was like, why am I doing that? I'm tracking my progress on this website called Pacemaker. And there's a little widget that I put on my website. It's hidden. It's buried on the now page, so which is only linked to in the footer. But it's like what I'm working on now, and it shows the progress of this book, of the drafting process. So, yes, planning to finish this week. And when I'm done, move quickly into more detailed plotting of book four of Earthsinger and hope to start fast drafting that. I have it on my schedule somewhere, but within the next 2 weeks or so, maybe a week. I think a week or two. Yeah. That is it for me for this week. I hope that you have a wonderful week and happy reading. For episode show notes and to learn more about me and my books, go to lpenelope.com. Subscribe to My Imaginary Friends wherever you get your podcasts and check out the video episodes on YouTube. Please leave a rating and review to help support the show.